Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And as you all know, we've entered a brave new world. And the only way that we can really succeed in our brave new world is with our brave new minds. So we need to live in this future science world with our brave new minds. And to do a better job of that is the author of a book called Brave New Mind. And I'm so happy to talk with Elliot Maynard, the author of the book. Elliot, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate you having me.
Well, I'm glad we could talk. You have a huge amount of credentials. I don't want to spend the whole show talking about that.
No problem.
But you're very heavily researched in science and life and all kinds of deep understandings that are kind of like it makes you a Renaissance man.
Yes, and I understand you're likewise. I was looking at your website, and it's interesting how many things we have in common: the photography, the intuitive healing, life, conceptual design, all of these things, and the photography.
Well, thank you. I love that, and I'm glad you saw that. I'm excited. You know, this radio show is a great love for me to talk to people like you and to help our listeners appreciate where we're at, where we're going, what's out there. Your book is vast. It covers so much territory, and I really enjoyed every page was a new opportunity to go, yeah, good. So I'm sure our audience will enjoy reading your book. And so we're going to talk about that and understand, you know, this is so much to do with, let's call it the quantum field, although that's a term that is hard to, you know, it's like talking about God. It's how do we talk about the quantum field, because it really is a multidimensional opportunity for us to live in. And that's why I think it's so powerful, and that's what your book is all about, is how to access new thinking, new ways of exploring reality that weren't open to us before.
Yes, and what I've put out in the book is essentially a new operating system for humans and for our planetary homeworld. You can't separate the two, as you know. And within this new format, which contains, I speak of interfacing with this quantum mass information field. And I know this is an artificial term, but essentially, since the frequencies have continued to raise higher and higher, and we have new challenges to face, from electronic smog, things that were never even in existence a couple of decades ago. We have to find new ways, and also new ways to break the cycle of kill or be killed, survival of the fittest, this awful cycle of rise and destruction of civilizations and the Earth resources in the process. So this also makes things like medical intuitives validated, channeling validated. All of these things are part of this new world, and it takes a brave mind to move ahead into this.
Yes, and this quantum mind, this quantum world of larger thought than our brains have, has been around for a long time. This is eternal, and yet humans haven't been able to access this greater mind in such large numbers before. But there have been so many scientists from the past who were enlightened in ways that they couldn't even understand.
Exactly. And you know, Peter, I think the difference now, it's very simple, but it's kind of what you might call a shattering glimpse of the obvious. All of the people at Saturn Cave for 30 years, and the great pioneers who almost got terminated by the powers in control, usually the church, I believe the difference now, the great masters, yes, all and leaders all had access to this field, but I think now the real breakthrough is that we can do it consciously now and we can do it instantly because the frequencies of the whole system are now at a higher range, so this can happen. And so what we're looking for now is a conscious connection with this field, just recognizing it, embracing it, finding, knowing when you're operating in this and trying to operate more and more in within this new construct.
And we can accomplish what you call quantum leapfrogging.
Yes, absolutely. It's going to happen like miracles. I guarantee that if people follow the simple instruction in this book, which are simply opening yourselves to this possibility and not disbelieving anything you cannot prove to be true, unlike what we've been taught. Don't believe anything you can't prove to be untrue with statistics on and on and on.
Well, science,
open yourself and bingo, it happens.
Lately, science has been discrediting itself in great ways.
Mm-hmm.
And so we see the way that science has been geared towards profit and greed and manipulation, control. And that's, of course, historically, the church did that for so long. And now science is, you know, the new church that's doing that. But it's an old science.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I believe that the great, there are so always in every religion, there are very spiritual people. A Catholic nun pointed that out. She says there's a great difference between spiritual people and religious people. She said there are spiritual people in every religion. And that, yes, they've always been around, and if they were smart, they kept their heads a little bit down so they didn't lose them in the process.
That's true. And I mean, I've worked with a lot of formerly religious people who have been, for instance, excommunicated.
Yes, I know.
And
this happens in science, too, because I've worked with a number of people that were so brilliant that their lives were made miserable by scientific establishments such as NASA, and they just had to get out of there before they were manipulated into being fired.
Well, yes, and the powers that be are still in power, and slowly it's being whittled away because science and thought are seeing the truth. And developing new sciences and new understandings that can't get the government or the powers that be. I don't even know if it's the government we know, but the powers that be can't keep stopping it. And for instance, this company that I helped to form, I was the original founder of a company that has the breakthrough technology for fusion energy. And we applied for a patent, and we expected it to be black box by the government, that there would be fear about its how powerful it is, and yet they let it be seen. The patent was published.
Wonderful, wonderful, and yes, and I'm very much very close to one of the people that was responsible for patenting the first and only zero-point energy device. It's called the MEG generator, I believe. It's a over-unity device, and also the new fusion technologies I'm fully aware of, and it's a real, these little breakthroughs one at a time are adding up, and
right,
more and more, because more people are talking about the things we're speaking of, it's becoming more comfortable, and therefore more people will feel that they can move into this new consciousness, and
right,
it's a wonderful feeling.
Actually, our fusion is hot fusion.
Oh.
And we have the technology to create hot fusion over 100 million degrees.
Wonderful.
and it's the factory is now fully built, and we're starting to build components, and hopefully we'll be building electric fusion energy plants all around the world that are totally green and as powerful as nuclear plants.
And I assume that it's possible to build in, with this new technology, the use of spent fuel rods and decommissioned nuclear warheads, medical waste, all these things. Is that possible?
Well, there is no nuclear waste, really, to speak
okay.
of.
Okay. No, I mean from other sources that exist right now. Our nuclear waste storage areas are bursting, and people have gone to incredible lengths to bury them deep underground in Switzerland and countries in Europe. They've done this, and it's really pushing technology to limit, and it's going to look like a Rube Goldberg historically from 100 years in the future, I think.
Well, I think there'll be technology that will know how to defuse that.
We already have this. It's called nuclear photo deactivation technology. I've written about it in two of my books.
Okay, good. And so there is hope for us all.
Well, yes, if we get it together in time, we're at a very amazing cusp of history, and things are just happening so fast. What I believe, my conviction is that we're being hit with a whole shotgun blast of what you might call evolutionary pressures. And the genetic constitution can no longer handle this. So how is this handled? Through consciousness technology. And the basis for this comes to the point where with our hard technology, we start looking at atoms and molecules, atoms, breaking them down into the tiny particles. And eventually we get to pure energy, and that's where science hits the wall, and science also meets with things like the Heisenberg principle, where the observer begins to influence the outcome of the experiment. This is where consciousness technology comes in.
Right. That nothing exists unless we're conscious about it. And that's what science keeps on refusing to allow is, and I see this in all over the place with regular science. They're trying to help us understand how science can advance without the acknowledgement of consciousness.
Yes, that's a really profound statement. I'm kind of mulling that over in my mind. The acknowledgement of consciousness technology by science. Yes, it's happening because, and I know this from previous consulting work with my former wife and mission partner. She was a psychic that worked with many celebrities and all this. And, you know, it's amazing that the great leaders and of history all had psychic teams working with them. And this has carried on into Japan. The industrial leaders a couple decades ago had been working to get psychics into their corporate structures so they could advance. And this is how you can leapfrog again.
And yet we don't know who they are consulting or not, because there's so much secrecy nowadays.
Right, right. And so this is now coming down to the grassroots. With medical expenses so high, people are turning to intuitive medical people like yourself and intuitive healers. And it's their money, and they vote with their wallets. And surprisingly, a lot of these older folks are very concerned about their quality of life. They're living 15 years longer now, and therefore they have the money to make the change. We can all vote with our wallets. Well, if we don't like what some company like Monsanto makes, if you don't use it, they're not stupid. They'll change their techniques, and they have done this in the last year, I believe.
And then there'll be technology that will overcome the destruction of GMOs.
And yes. This, I have a feeling that this whole GMO debacle has happened for a reason, to wake us up on the unintended consequences and how this is a great responsibility. When we have I guess you could call it a God-given technology that is revealed to us and develop it, then we have to take the responsibility. when you wish for something in this new construct, you have to be careful what you wish for, because then you're going to have to manage it and deal with it.
Right. And so, but we also keep on having to leapfrog it.
Yes.
And so there are so many technologies in your book. I mean, it's so much fun to go through so many different breakthroughs in science and consciousness that you talk about in the book. There's one company I don't know if you know about called General Resonance.
I'm not aware of that one,
and,
no.
And they are trying to work with the FDA and pharmaceutical companies so that they can bring their resonances into the marketplace. They have different frequencies that you drink.
Yes.
And each frequency has been shown through scientific research to cure diseases.
Absolutely. And of course, this is parallel to the effectiveness of homeopathics.
Yes.
Because from a physical linear standpoint, it shouldn't work, but it does.
Right. And so this has really been tested time and again to make sure that, you know, it's not, you know, homeopathy works, but it's obscure. It's hard to find a homeopath who actually can figure out the right remedy for you and then replace that with the subsequent remedy and the subsequent to actually get the job done. And some of them are brilliant at it. And yet these are resonances that will be labeled, this disease, drink this. and you do, and it cures the disease. So they're trying to actually introduce it because of the FDA and the pharmaceutical companies throwing up their hands about orphan diseases, the diseases that they have no answer to.
Right, right.
And so if a company has an answer to that, why would they keep them out of the marketplace?
Right.
So there is hope for so many people out there right now who have diseases that they don't know what to do about. In the near future, there will be actual, and to use the word cure, you know, it's a bad word to use.
Yes.
Legally.
Yes, I understand that.
But that's legal. But we are out to cure diseases, not just manage them for the sake of business.
Right, right. That's an interesting perspective. but so true, because we are finding with the incredibly high cost of, we're finding that the whole Western world is essentially addicted to big pharma medicine, a whole big section of people. And the others are trying to look at the cures that have existed and have been around for a long time. The only problem, and they work really well, the only problem is they don't make any money for big pharma, so they've been, you know, pushed aside. But they are there, and people like yourself and other healers know about these things. And also this new group of seniors that want to extend their quality of life and their life expectancy, they are schooling themselves on these techniques.
Sure. I know it's really a survival aspect. If you realize that you're not going to survive following traditional science,
right,
then your survival thinking has to go into innovation.
And I find it incredible that you either open a magazine, a nice glossy magazine, and see an ad for medicine, and then two pages of disclaimers might cause death or internal bleeding, these kind of things. And it astounds me that people kind of read over this, or in the commercials it's just going on while they're putting all kinds of beautiful views on the visual part of it.
It's interesting that they don't say that about vaccines.
yes, there is that.
It's amazing. They don't warn you what vaccines can do to you.
Yes, I know.
And yet they warn about everything else.
Yes.
It's strange. So, you know, it's so exciting. I'm buzzed right now talking with you because there are so many ways that we can look at life, and your book does. I mean, you I don't know what you missed. Maybe what you missed is in your other book or books. So you didn't have to miss them here. But I'd like to talk about radionics, because I'm going to do a show on that in a couple of weeks. And I'm excited about it. I actually intuitively received a new radionics technology.
Interesting.
That I'm starting to use that has to do with its algorithms, its numerical algorithms that come through to me.
Yes.
And they're placed within spirals.
Interesting. Yes, this would fit in with the DNA, structure, and it's a natural design of nature, essentially.
Exactly.
Fundamental.
Right. The spirals are very important, and so it was interesting. I've received other technologies too that I'm working with. I have a few hundred people who have signed up for my True Life Circles healing, which you might have seen on my website, and now I'm working on there are mandalas that are given to me that people can that I am given the information that goes into the mandalas, and then people receive them and they activate them, and then they just have them in their presence, and the mandalas are healing to them.
This is a wonderful way to actually plant new seeds, and what I believe you're doing is creating critical mass for your new technology. And just by doing that and having a group of people who are focused on this, accepting it, they don't immediately knee-jerk and say, oh, that can't be possible, which is more in the human condition. They're saying, wow, this is a chance for me to experience this and get better and feel better and have more energy.
Right.
And by having that coherent group, this will bring that technology into reality. Again, another example of quantum leapfrogging. That's
right.
My term. It's kind of a goofy metaphor, but why not, you know?
Well, I think that's the future, is working with harmonics and frequencies and numbers. I think everything is math. Everything is numbers. Life is all about formulations of that consciousness creates to make things, to create form.
And absolutely.
And so then we are the manipulators of form through our consciousness.
Yes.
And so that's how powerful we're going to become. And that's why, and we'll maybe we need another show for that, but that's why the ETs can do what they can do.
Yes, UFOs. Absolutely. And it becomes, if essentially we look at them as maybe a living on it, on a two or three floors above us in some mystical apartment building, they simply exist at a higher frequency where these things become possible, and they exist more and more within this, what I call the quantum information field or the master field. And therefore, there's no past, present, or future as you begin to work in this. And that's why you can bring the future into the present, because if you spend more and more time in the state through your healing or mathematical work, it begins to permeate your whole being, and you become transformed up to another little upstage, part way up to the next floor, and these things become more and more easy for you to do, and everyone who is listening also.
Yes, once our consciousness can comprehend the larger framework, then we can create it, because our consciousness then is more powerful in understanding truth, the larger truth that might eliminate the limitations of time, for instance.
Yes, because time, in this quantum state, time does not exist in the same way. Time has many different formats, apparently, in these higher realms, if you want to call them higher frequency areas. And time can be shifted. You can go along timelines, as you know, and view things like the Akashic Records, which are all part of this information field.
Well, it's vast and it's infinite, and
yes,
and in infinite, then anything is possible.
Absolutely.
And so there are opportunities that you've explored. I mean, this is what's exciting in talking with you, is that you explore everything.
I've got an incurable Bart Simpson syndrome, or Curious George the monkey, and I could never not stick my fingers in another pot to see what was cooking there.
Right. And so it's vast. I mean, you have a mind that just likes to include everything. And that's part of the joy of going through the book. It's not a linear book to read, even though you have 25 master keys and you do go in order. I didn't really follow that.
I made the book purposefully that way in my previous book, which is more in the physical, called 12 Futuristic Strategies for Transforming the Global Biosphere. Transforming the Global Biosphere is the name of it.
All right.
And I have... Yes. I don't know. I guess I've been blessed or cursed with the ability to see a bigger picture and come down and put all the little pieces of the puzzle together, or enough of them to make some sense.
Right. And so what I'd like to do is actually at some point in the near future interview you some more, to look at all these pieces, not all of them, a few of them, how many we can talk about in the show. But it would be great to explore more of your information and awareness that you've achieved, that is in this book and your other books.
Well, actually, you know, one thing, and I don't say this from an ego standpoint, but I guess, again, I've been blessed to come into contact with some very, very great healers and people who have brilliant psychic abilities, and many of them are leaders in this field. And in doing so, you become more compassionate. And I guess we have an offer that we can't refuse, in the sense that when we get this information, there's a compulsion, which I think is a good aspect of the human condition, and that is that we have to share it to move on.
Right. So let's share some more, because there's so much wonder in your book. It's all about wonder and bring it into a way to see it. So Elliot Maynard, the author of Brave New Mind, it's so much fun talking with you. And I do want to talk with you some more, because this is really enlightening.
I'd be happy to do that. Delighted.
Great. Thanks, Elliot. Thanks for being a guest on Energy Stew.
And thank you so much, Peter, for having me.
Great. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org, heartriver.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thank you so much for listening.